हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके सो देन द चतुश्लोकी देन The notes in this verse, Sri Krishna begins his explanation of how Vedanta should move beyond intellectual theory to practical realization of the absolute truth. In other words, we understand it, but that's not enough. You have to apply it, right? Otherwise, there's the idea, if I understand it, then I have it, you know, or I have the book, and so now I understand it, you know. That's so many times to say. Two, practical realization of God takes place through loving devotional service. That is indicated here by the words bhajante mam and pava samanvitaha in this verse. So then the realization of God means you have the knowledge, you have to move beyond it to applying it, but it's through the application that you'll realize the Lord. Right? Then three, the stage of transition from jnana to bhakti takes place in shantaras, where there is appreciation for Krishna's greatness. So if by applying it, means either you're taking that the person's on the platform of jnana, so then he's applying the devotional service. By that, there's realization of the Lord. Then, by realization of the Lord, there's appreciation. So that appreciation then starts this foundation in bhakti by appreciating the greatness of the Lord, right? So that would be, we're looking at it from that lower level. Another one will be, looking at the higher level, is the person is practicing devotional service, but he's using jnana yoga. So by being that, then that appreciating Krishna's more and all that, then that brings him to the stage where devotional sentiments start to manifest. Do you understand? The one is just he appreciates God, and the other thing is this appreciating on that. Deeper level, right? One is just the appreciation that Bhagavan is there, he has qualities, but here's that relationship with the Lord. So, this, as we said, the same formula always works. It's just a matter of where you're applying it, right? Okay, so then continue that on page 17, the purport. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. Some notes. 9:11. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So fools means they have no knowledge. It doesn't mean fools means, you know, they're intellectually challenged or something. It just means that they don't have Vedic knowledge, they don't have that knowledge connected with the personality of Godhead. Even if they have Vedic knowledge, they're great Vedantists, they're great scholars, they're great yogis, but they're still fools because they don't understand the Lord's position. Right? So because of that, then they're derided. Right? It's not necessarily sit around and crack, you know, stupid jokes or stuff. But it's just Brahman is supreme or Paramatma is supreme or these different things. So when he comes, they don't understand his position. Right? Yes.
Except devotee, everyone is a fool?
Technically, except devotees, everyone's a fool. But you have to respect someone for their particular brand of foolishness. Right? So in other words, someone's an intellectual fool, someone's administrative fool, someone's a very, very extremely wealthy businessman fool, someone's a very great artist fool, like that. So, but the point is it's foolish because here's the opportunity, it's not being taken. Because otherwise, to say fools deride me means there's some idea but they're not interested, they're not attracted. So that's foolish. You know, it means if they have no idea that there is a personal form of the Supreme Lord, what's the problem? Right? It means they only know up to a certain level. So he's very pious, he's following the Vedic literatures, like Maharaj Prachina Barhisha. He didn't know that there was anything beyond karma. He had no idea that there was such a thing as transcendence or you know, spiritual life. He didn't know about this. He only knew that there's karmakanda, that you do your work, you're pious. So he understood there's impiety and there's piety. And so therefore piety is higher. That's his duty. So only when Narad Muni explained to him that beyond that there's the spiritual and then there's the Lord's pastimes, then, you know, so then he accepted that. So because he was sincere. He was just doing whatever he thought was the highest, but he didn't know there was beyond. Like that. Does that make sense? So you do have that element, is that wherever they're at, when they come in contact, then they'll take advantage. But here it's a matter that the idea is there, but they don't see it as anything important. They don't take advantage of it. Right? So that's foolish. You know, so it's more that, because otherwise it's just unfortunate or uninformed or like that. But foolish means they've heard about the personal form and they don't take advantage of it. That would be foolish. Wow. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then 724. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So here now it's being mentioned as small knowledge. Right? Because a fool technically is someone who doesn't have a lot of, you know, intelligence there. Or he might be intelligent. Well, then you'd probably say naive or some other things like that. But he doesn't have much to work with. But here he's saying it's small knowledge. We're not saying that they don't have intelligence. Right? So here it's just they don't have much knowledge. The other one we're saying that there may be intelligence there, but they're not using it. So whether they have or they don't use, the result is the same. Right? Whether it's just a unintelligent man, you know, who doesn't have academically any ability, or someone who has great ability, if either one of them are deriding the Supreme Lord, they're fools. Because that's just not something you do. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say you have a big, nasty, you know, pit bull there. You don't poke it with a stick. Right? It doesn't matter if you're, you know, a genius or you're an idiot. It's just, you're a fool if you poke that dog, you know? Does that make sense? It's just, you don't do that. So, from that angle, this other is he's saying unintelligent because their knowledge is very small. Right? Like a child. Let's say the child is very intelligent on one level, but if they're saying something that is based on very little knowledge, you'll say that's unintelligent. Because there's no discrimination. Intelligence means discrimination. So they can't discriminate. They think that the impersonal is first and then the Lord's form comes after. Right? So that's the difficulty. So then that is their lack of, and that is their unintelligence, because their knowledge is very little, right? Because small means God is being the complete whole. That's knowledge. So even if you're the world's authority on a particular area of knowledge, you know, of mundane knowledge, it's still small knowledge, right? Because it's only a particular area. What about the rest of the world? And what about the universe? Then what about the cosmos? Then there's God. So if you know about God, that's big knowledge. Anything else is small knowledge. So if you have both, great. But if not, if you only have one, better have the big. Right? You know, if all you have is a stack of, you know, 1,000 rupee notes, no one will complain. Let's say you have 10,000 rupee notes, right? It's only 10 notes. But another guy, he has hundreds of ones and fives and tens, but it still doesn't add up. You know, so it's not that you're missing out on something by having the bigger and not the smaller, you know. There's this idea, no, but the other is more practical. No, you can get it. You know, you can take it. It's like that. If you can understand God, you can understand His creation. Right? Does that make sense? For the jiva, it's not the creation that's hard to understand, it's God. Because the jiva being feminine, the creation being feminine, there's something to commune with there. But God is different, he's masculine. So that's something new, that's different. You understand? So therefore, Noah having all the knowledge of the universe, that's easy. You have the knowledge of God, you actually have that. Because he contains everything. Okay. Focus on purport of Bhagavad Gita 10.9. So that was the first one. What would have established the sambandha, you know, so Krishna's position. Right? The symptoms of the pure devotee are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Notes. Okay, so 9.13.14. Interesting that we get... Oh, I see. It's just that part of the purport. There's only one thing. Okay. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Then the next part of the purport. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. In the mature stage, they are actually situated in the love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Right? So here we're talking about this preliminary stage, because the next verse would be dealing with the higher level of it, right? Because here is that they're right here are under the protection. They are fully engaged because they know me as the Supreme Lord, right? They're always chanting glories, endeavoring with determination. So it's a matter of the appreciation of the Lord. They're seeing the Lord in everything, right? In the Bhagavatam Chatur Shloki, then it's the values. So they're seeing all those values in connection with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So it's a matter of his qualities, his greatness, his specialness, right? Because we're talking about that switch from the Brahman platform to the Bhagavan platform, Brahman and Paramatma to the Bhagavan. So that Shantarasa, the element is appreciation, right? Then the next stage is naturally service, right? Because appreciation and service, that is the common principle of all residents of the spiritual world. Right now in Goloka, then they take it farther into more intimate, to friendship, parental, and conjugal. But otherwise, that appreciation and then service, that's the common platform. Right. So notes, but the preliminary stage referred to here is the stage of ruchi, as confirmed by the following quote from Maturya Kanambini, the fifth shower of nectar by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When the golden coin of bhakti, devotion, shining effulgently by the fire of steady practice and propelled by its own energy, becomes fixed in the devotee's heart, ruchi or taste for devotional activities appears. When a person develops a taste for the activities of bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, which is vastly greater than attraction to anything else, that is called ruchi. Unlike the previous stages, at the stage of ruchi, constant performance of hearing and chanting does not result in even the least fatigue. Right? Because the others, you're chanting and all that, you've chanted nicely, but then you want a break from the chanting, you want to do something else. But you're feeling good that it was good chanting. You know, the kirtan was good, or something else was good, you know, like this. But here the ruchi is that it doesn't, because God's unlimited, therefore the taste is unlimited, you don't get full. So you can just go on. So how long the kirtan lasted, that was great. You could go on more, but it ended, you know, whatever. So that's... Does that make sense? Unlike the previous state... Okay. Ruchi quickly produces a great attachment to the activities of bhakti, because the point of ruchi, things speed up very quickly. Mm. That's why it's then also mentioned... Who was mentioning? May have been Vishwanath. Is pointing out that the aspects of ruchi and asakti, though they're in the madhyama platform, are actually more dynamically connected with the uttama platform. Because those are the activities that bring one to bhava. So you could count within that, those are the... So then, but nishta, because we see here, when the golden coin of bhakti is shining effulgently in the fire of steady practice. So that's nishta. So when there's steady practice, so that's why nishta will be counted as at the beginning of advanced devotional service. Because it is the platform from which, just like bhava is the platform from which you get prema. So ruchi is the platform from which nishta is the platform from which ruchi and asakti. Okay. This is similar to a Brahmin boy who, after diligently studying the scriptures daily and in time grasping the meaning, finds no difficulties at all in applying himself to study, and moreover develops a pleasure in the task. Right in the beginning, it's a whole thing, so many things to memorize, so many new things. But after a while, it becomes very easy because you see what it's for, what you can do with it. So all the connections, all the different things, the meaning, the depths, that all becomes very attractive. So there's no problem, right? Does that make sense? Right. So why does he doesn't say a student, right? He says a Brahmin. Why would he say a Brahmin boy? Why wouldn't he say a Vaishya boy? Right? Because you have the same thing. But the Vaishya boy then starts, associating with, somebody in the family or family friend who then he's learning the business from. In the beginning it's a task and all that. But once he gets used to it and sees how it works, then he could do that all day.
It's going to be his occupation?
Yeah, so it's occupation, but at the same time is that, yeah, it's occupation. And also the same time is then we're looking at it in money. Not that it's not the same principle, but it would be taken at a lower level. So you say Brahmin boy, the study, then it's also its ashram, even though that will be the Brahmin's occupation. But it's seen within something, so that means everybody can develop it. It's more universal. The Brahminical platform is universal. Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra is not, even though there's more of them. Right? It means the amount of Brahmins in a society are minimal, in the broad society. But within, but the culture of the Brahmin is something that every soul can do. Right? In other words, everybody could hear and chant, everybody could preach. Everybody could take part in the deity worship and all that, right? So the only reason that the Vaishya can't very well is because he's so distracted by his business. You understand? But if he wasn't distracted, he could do that, right? But the Vaishya wouldn't be able to necessarily sing like the Shudra or administrate like the Kshatriya. You understand? But the Brahminical activity, as ashram, that any soul can do if they're purified. Right? And so that purification comes from the chanting process by associating with devotees. Right? Vocationally, what is your nature that you can do? The Brahmin can sit there all day, sit at the yajna and all that. The fire's hot. Or things, they had a thing in South India because there was a whole thing of, equality and all that. So the Brahmins are doing all the puja. So they kicked them all out. The government did. Because the government, controlled all the temples, right? Because they get all the money. So they kicked them all out and brought in all these fishermen and anybody like that who wanted to be, pujaris and like that. I can't remember how long they lasted. It was a matter of days, I think. I don't even think it was weeks. I think it was days. Because in the deity room, it's small, it's closed, you have all the lamps, it's hot. A fisherman is used to being out in the open air and, getting splashed by the water and, all that kind of stuff like that. So after a couple of days, and they just said, forget it, we're not doing that. So then they had to bring back the Brahmins. Right? So that's the thing. The Brahmin has a tolerance to do something. Just like someone who's not a businessman may not be able to tolerate all what goes on in the business. So someone's not an administrator, tolerate all the problems that come up in an administration. So the same way is the Brahmins have the tolerance for the things that are a problem for them, right? Does that make sense? So the artists, they can sit there all day and, practice. Does that make sense? The same thing over and over and over. Everyone else will get bored. They don't. Right? So the point is your occupation is something that is according to your nature. It's fixed. It's not a matter of all this sentiment, we don't care, and there's no. That's the way it is. It's like I can say, this rock, why do you call it a rock? It's actually, why can't it be like a banana? It wants to be a banana, like that. The rock really wants to be a banana. Why you're not allowing him the chance? Okay, goodbye, go ahead. So the point is the others won't be able to do those offices properly. Right? Emergency, maybe, but that's short term. But as a long term, no.
Is the Brahmana able to perform, I mean, work as a Shudra, as a Vaishya?
He has the knowledge of all of them. So but he's not going to be comfortable.
No. But he would be able.
Because what the Kshatriya is, you have the power and influence, that's their drive. Yeah. But that's not a drive for Brahman. No, that's why the king's advisors are Brahmins. He knows the subject as well as the king, or even better. But there's no interest in being in that position, so he's a good advisor. You know, economics, it's not rocket science. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of little technical things, but it's not rocket science. So the point is that someone has to have that drive to make that profit, to actually get into it and be committed to it. Because it's just a matter of day in, day out, doing the same thing. You know, you take that hat and you sell it. You know, and then you've sold enough hats, you have money. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Is that sort of like the Brahman has the sannishan without the prajumna aspect of it? Like he doesn't have the interest?
No, and those other things. He has prajumna in the area of knowledge.
But I mean, in that field, he doesn't have the interest, even though he may...
Yeah, he doesn't have the interest. Like, no one has the interest in anything else. You know, they have interest in the power, but they don't want to put in the work. You know, it's just like the Vaishya doesn't mind taking power. But if the power is just for... Because then you control all the money. Why does the Vaishya want to be in charge? Because then he controls the money. Because he doesn't care about protecting the people. It's not that the money's for protecting the people. It's that by being in that position, he has the money. You know? And then he has the respect. Those are, for him, secondary. The primary is the money. While for the Kshatriya, it's not the money. He has more money than the Vaishya, but it's about the you have that respect, that position, because then you can protect. Right? And you need money to do that. You know, you don't run an army and everything else on no money. You know, you need lots of money for that. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like that. You know, it's like that. I forget. You know, they take the ships out, you know, and they, you know, decide to travel over to some place that, you know, they don't feel is behaving themselves. So you have all these big destroyers and aircraft carriers and that. They spend something like $1 million a day, you know, just on petrol and food. You know, something ridiculous like that. You know, so it's big money. You know, I don't think there's probably a Vaishya on the planet, even the biggest businessman that spends, has expenses of $1 million a day. You know, not to make his business work. Maybe he could go out and spend that for fun. You know, but even that would be hard. I mean, even you stay in the Burj Al Khalifa, it means it's, I think $15,000 a night is the most expensive suite. You know, so, you know, and if you, and their restaurant downstairs is $3,000 a plate. You know, I'm saying, you know, it's very, be very hard to spend $1 million a day. You know? You know, it's like that, yeah.
Would it be reasonable to assume that a Brahmana would actually prefer to do Sudra activities compared to Vaishya and Kshatriya? Because the engagement in the material nature could be less.
No, it's because the Brahmana Shudra means then you're working under somebody. Yeah. Brahman's independent. Mm. So that's why he has alternatives that he remains. If you're begging, you're independent. Mm. You know, the person is thinking, but you're independent. Mm. Mm. Like that, gleaning grains, living by Amrita, you're independent. Yeah. So the Brahma can always be independent, but the others can't do that. So that's why the others also aren't allowed, because they're doing those things wouldn't be for independence, that'd be for something else. You know, like there's this one, I was told about someone in England, you know, once, but he's this one devotee, he saw, you know, because he goes to work every day and he'd see this beggar every day. Sitting on, I forget where he sat, in front of Marks and Spencer's or some place like that. You know, a prominent place where everybody's going, either on Regent or Oxford, probably Oxford. So then he's sitting there, and he sits there all day, you know, whatever it is, looking disheveled and all that. And, you know, people give money and all that. And then because he happened, you know, where he walked, somehow or another, one day he just happened to be walking, and that guy got up, finished up, packed up shop, walked over to many blocks away, because he was walking to where the devotee was walking to where his car was, and he walked over there, and that beggar, he walked over and got into a Mercedes and drove off. So the guy would make huge amount of money a day, you know, more than he would get at an office job. So he's doing begging because it was more better than working in an office, right? You know, everybody couldn't do it, but he was clever enough to figure it out. So, you know, it doesn't have much social status, but it makes lots of money. You know what I'm saying? So that's why these others aren't allowed to do that.
That's what happened in South India also. They had a rehabilitation program for all the beggars. They took all the beggars out on the street and put in this camp. But all the beggars don't want to live in that lifestyle. They want to come back because they earned so much money. They were giving on loan for others.
Once Maharaj Gupta, he was in Calcutta and doing some work, and there were all these kids that lived in at that time when they're building the metro underneath the ground in that area. And so, you know, so he got up, struck up a conversation. So he brought him and a couple of his friends back to Mayapur, you know, cleaned them up, fed them, dressed them nicely. The idea maybe they get interested in devotional service, they come to the Gurukul, like this and that. So after they were there 2 weeks, then, you know, it was kind of like for them, you know, a vacation, you know, like that. And it was nice. And he says, hey, we're going back there. And he says, you're going back to that after this? He says, hey, you know, you're free. You can do whatever you like, you know. So around here, you got to follow all these rules. Yes?
I was just wondering, is it recommended that we aspire to be Brahmins or recognize what our propensity is and work in an occupation of another division?
We aspire for Brahminical culture, which means means the ashram side of Varnashram, that everybody can practice Brahminical culture. It's just a matter of, to that degree of purification, to that degree, you know, that, you know, will be more strict about some of the rules of, let's say, cleanliness or other things like that. But that doesn't necessitate that it's a Brahmin, because you find sometimes there are persons in other orders that are very exact. You know, like generally you see if you go to any palace in the world or any, they're very clean. You know, very rich people, their houses are very clean. You know, and generally, you know, many times you're good artists, their place is very clean. So it's not a matter of that, it's just that's a more general tendency, more... Brahmins by nature in general all be clean, you know. Does that make sense? So therefore it adds to it. Like you'll see they'll be very clean and pure, but not necessarily tidy. You know what I'm saying? Like in general you'd probably say most Kshatriyas, they will dress better, you know, in the way of how, even if it's just a dhoti and chadar, they'll put it on better than your general Brahmin will. Because Brahman just puts it on. It's just what it's supposed to be put. So they don't see those things because they're not so worried about it. But there are those Brahmins, they'll be as good or if not better. They're saying, then the Vaishyas, you'll have a class that is like that. The most don't, because the point is you're making money. What does it matter what you look like? You know, therefore he comes to the board meeting where everyone else is in suits. He's got on blue jeans, you know, a cowboy hat and cowboy boots and a t-shirt. Like that, you know, because they just don't care. You know what I'm saying? So the nature is that that purity in those, then they add your ashram activities go better when there's greater purity. But in Varna, what is your conditioned nature, that is just whatever you have the ability to do. Right? So if you want to make money, and that, then you would figure out what is your nature and act within that, because that's where you'll be the most satisfied. Right? Maybe you can make more money in another occupation, but you can't necessarily do that for a long time. Because either you can't tolerate it or everybody else can't tolerate it. Right? So in the long run it'll work out better to stick to your own nature. But because you do have the element again of the soul in Brahminical culture, the Brahman's duties are the same as the ashram duties. Right? But, and then within this, there's two aspects, the technical ritualistic part, and then the knowledge and, training part. So technically, anyone who's advanced in ashram, you know, and in knowledge and practices, doesn't matter what the varna is, they can do that aspect of Brahminical life, which is the higher aspect. So that means anybody who, no matter what their varna is, they could preach. Right? But they wouldn't do it as an occupation. You know what I mean? Say you wouldn't run classes and then take money. Devotees do that. They go around, do seminars and charge and all those kinds of things like that. You wouldn't do that. That's why Vaishyas aren't supposed to teach, because for them it's just... So after a while, they'll figure out, what, you know. So they ran the class, and some people liked it, some people didn't. They'll figure out what it was that people didn't like. They'll adjust their seminar to make it so that they'll like it. And then as they go to make it more and more popular, they adjust it more and more. So it's not actually about the knowledge, it's about making money. Well, the Brahman is that people like it, they come. They don't like it, who cares? You know, it's just like the knowledge is there for those who can take it, and that's the way it works. You know what I'm saying? So that's the does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess for me personally, sometimes I then struggle to know what my nature is.
Well, it means we all know that the soul is eternal servant of Krishna. So in ashram, then one can follow all the brahminical acts, because that's what we do. We get up in the morning, we take the deity worship, the chanting, the sadhana, all these different things. That's there. Then, as much as we can take part in this higher aspect within the preaching, that we do. Now, how we make our money, and then we have to see is, so are we the most comfortable? Do we think, or do we see things through the field of knowledge? Right? If that is our medium, or do we see it through protection and influence? So that requires, you know, a power. Or do we see it through economics? Or do we see it through art? You know what I'm saying? In all these, there's going to be an art, and all these, there's going to be a knowledge, and all these, there's going to be money, and all these, there's going to be influence. But it's which is prominent, which is the one that from there the other three come out. Right? Means you have knowledge, but if you don't control the classroom, you know, then like that, and there's techniques of how you'd speak or how you'd run the class or manage it so it works. So all these others come out like that. Does that make sense? You have, you know, influence, but you need knowledge to have influence, and you need money for that, and there's arts of how you apply that. Does that make sense? So it's which one's prominent. So that's where then you look. Then that's the general. Then within that, then you look in specific. If it's knowledge, which branch of knowledge? And which way of just practically means in teaching it or applying it or like that. If it's an influence, then at what level within that influence? You know, what kind of, you know, position and influence? If it's within money, then, you know, what are you going to do? It means it's either in, you know, cows, farming, banking, or in business. So which of those? Or combination. And then whatever it is there, then what do you go into there? You know, do you grow vegetables, or do you grow grains? Or you does that make sense? Or business, or you're selling cloth, or you're selling cars, or, you know, something. Does that make sense? Or it's art, you know, it's going to be music, drama, dance, and those kind of things, your fine arts. Or it's that you do the arts of the other three. A salesman is a businessman's artist. You know, a policeman or a foot soldier or a bureaucrat is a kshatriya's artist. Does that make sense? You know, so like this, then you just have to see what's the art. Does that make sense? So like that, then you can. It's just a matter of being honest and looking at it. It's not a matter of social prestige or this or that. It's a matter of where you're going to be happy. Like that. Does that make sense? And if there's a combination, which one's prominent?
It definitely makes sense. Sometimes it's not obvious which one's prominent.
Yeah, but just go through it and just see what it means. You start with what you have interest in. And then go into why do you have interest in it. What's the actual, you know, if you go down, if you keep asking why, you know, when you get to the end, you know, like that, then that will be, you know, then consider all those. And then add them all up and see which one comes out more. You know, does that make sense? Yes.
Is it necessary or possible to really identify one strongly with, you know, Kali Yuga, right? So it's kind of such...
It means it's always there. It's just a matter. See, it's a matter of it's just impure. Okay, it's just like, let's say we're walking down the street and the guy he's selling things made of cheap glass but colored, and they're mounted on a piece of plastic and they're in a circle. Right? What is he selling?
Enjoyment.
No, but what is that item? No, jewelry. It means it's jewelry, right? It's got that glass and all that. So now the thing is it's jewelry, right? We call it jewelry. He's a jewelry salesman. But would we actually classify it as really jewelry? No, when it's at least dealing with semi-precious, but ideally precious, then we'd say, now we're talking jewelry here. Right?
Yeah.
But it is jewelry.
Yeah.
You know? So the thing is Kali Yuga, it's just that it is those things. It's just that the impurity of it is so less that it's not that special. But it's still that nature. Right? It means you have the tribal chief. Okay, where does he fit? What varna? Okay. Then you have the tribal witch doctor. Okay, and then you have the guy that runs behind everybody else when they go out to hunt the lion and just, you know, kind of like to hold on to things and carry extra stuff. Yeah, you understand? So you always have it, you know.
In everyone that's really prominent, one is really prominent?
Yeah. Can be, but that's why the mixed varna is not recommended. So even if one is coming from a mixed background, then the recommendation is you marry someone who is of the same mixed background. Like a Nishada marries a Nishada. Then you get a Nishada. So he knows who he is. You know what I'm saying? But if the Nishada, you know, then marries a Shudra, then their son will be a Svapacha. Right? And then if he marries a Chandala, then you get an Antavasayin. So it's just, it keeps getting worse and worse. The more you mix it, the worse it gets. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of equal nature will be, work it out. Because you've been doing it for a while, you figure it out. So that way, if you figured it out, then the opportunity is there for your children to figure it out, because then it'll be the same nature. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's just an occupation. But as far as the other aspects, then it's any soul can take up Krishna consciousness. Any soul can practice Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? To some degree or another. Though their conditioning may affect that. Because there's more material desire more attachment. That it's the attachment that gets in the way. So it's not that, he's by nature a Shudra, that's why he's not so good at sadhana. No, it's he's not so good at sadhana because he's attached, and that attachment gets in the way. You know, but let's say the Kshatriya, he's used to regulation, because you can't run a kingdom without regulation. Right? Everybody has the organization. So he won't have a problem in the timing of the sadhana, but it doesn't mean that he's any less distracted when he's chanting than the Shudra when he does chant. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you'll see is that that's why you have these forms, and there's a recommended, and anybody can do them, but it's a matter of the purity and how much they can take part. Right, so even if they start off very impure, give it time, they'll be able to do all that. So someone who can do it quicker, then they'll take up those positions or responsibilities sooner. The other one will take it up later. So it's not a matter of, it's the varna. Let's see, looking at, that's purity. Varna is simply, it's just like the temple, let's say the temple wants to start up some business to make money. So who should they listen? Who should they take advice from? Right? A businessman. But because we're the devotees and all the businessmen are all nonsense, karmi, stinky, smelly, you know, grubby, you know, demons, then we'll never ask them. So these devotees who have no idea about business will make decisions about business. They'll invest a lot of money and they'll waste it all and lose it all. And then everybody will shrug their shoulders and then move on. Right? The businessman will be pulling out his hair. But they, what to do? Because they have no concept of economics. You understand? So when the king is working with business, he'll find out what businessmen say about it. He'll make the decision. You know, it's just like in business, we could sell this or we could sell that. Okay, what's the advantages of each? So this one of the advantages are we can do it in our place and this and that. Well, this one we have to do it outside. Okay, so we don't have the manpower to do outside, so therefore let's do inside. But then how to set that up? The businessman will know how to do it. So the person in charge makes decisions, but not about, you know, how you're going to sell it, this, that, and all these different things, you know. The guy says, well, I think we should put up this advertiser. No, actually, you know, I think we should. You don't do that because it's a skill. You don't have the skill. You're not qualified. So you can be the most advanced devotee, but if you don't have the skill, you don't make comment. You can make comment about their Krishna consciousness in it, that you're doing this business, but in doing this, let's say you're putting up your poster. It takes up the whole hallway and only leaves, you know, 1 foot on each side for people to get by. So since it's a temple, people want to come in the devotional, so they don't mind something on the side to catch their attention. But they don't want something so in the face, so that's not devotional. So you have to control that aspect, but you can't tell them how to do business. Yes.
Wouldn't you also sometimes have to advise them on dharma?
Dharma you may, but I'm saying because that's the aspect, because that's your nature. If you could do that, then you do that.
Because they would set dharma aside for problems.
Yes,
right?
they could do that. So the point is you, where is your area of expertise? That's where you give the input. You don't because I'm a devotee now, I'm expert in everything. No, you're a devotee now, you're expert in human life. But as far as occupation, whatever your nature is, that's the way it is. You know what I'm saying? So you may have the devotee, he goes out and works at a job. Right, that's how he maintains himself. But you know, he's the temple president. But he's the temple president, not because he's doing the job of Shudra. He's the temple president because of his advancement in devotional service, responsibility. Now, if he's actually advanced, he'll get others to see Krishna consciousness in their area. Right, but he doesn't tell them what to do. Does that make sense? But as the temple expands, a small temple, yeah, but as the temple expands, unless, you know, he has the knowledge of management, you know, for businessman or something like that. Like say somebody has an MBA. They're a Vaishya Shudra, but a managerial Shudra. They know how to manage business. So he might be able to manage the temple very nicely and do that, his accounts will go well and everything like that. But His focus is on the devotional, because that's why he's there. He's not there because he has an MBA. He's there because he's, you know, an advanced devotee.
Could you have varnas within varnas? Like you would say, talking about...
You always have that, but still it'll be that flavor within, always within that. You know, it's just like I said, you have the floor manager. So there's that administrative element, you know, because he's the floor manager. He has to write all the reports and all this and that. He has to talk to everybody, make sure everybody has what they need. So he's doing that as a Kshatriya element within, but he's a Shudra, but in a business environment. That's why it becomes complicated, you see. But it's just a matter of knowing what's what, then it's straightforward. Like that. Is that okay?
Can the prominence be different over the life? Like if someone's, you know, when they're single, but like brahmachari, there may be more brahminical activities than...
But that all brahmacharis are brahminical activities. Yeah. The brahmachari is always brahminical activities. That's all it is. Doesn't matter what the varna is. Yeah.
But then later in life, like if someone may focus on business just out of, you know, having a family or whatever at that time, but not really... sort of be attached or something.
But why is it? Why is he doing business?
To maintain the family.
Why does he have to maintain the family?
Well, it's his duty.
It's his duty, but what's the importance of that duty? I mean, he didn't have to get married.
No.
So why did he get married? Why is he accepting that as his duty?
Because that's his nature.
His nature to get married.
Yeah.
So what are the symptoms of his nature?
Attachment.
Okay, but what's the form of this attachment? What's he attached to? He just loves, you know, plastered cement walls and, you know...
That's the interaction of a family.
Okay, but what's the aspect of the interaction? What does that interaction give him?
He's protecting children, training children, bringing them up. He's interacting with the wife, having a life partner as a wife.
Okay. Okay, and then the wife is there, means he has an interaction with the wife. But what's the basis?
Attachment.
Attachment is there, but I'm just saying, what's the form of attachment? I mean, what is he exactly attached to?
Thinking he's a man and wanting to interact with a woman, I guess. Purusha
Prakriti
on the material level.
I hear a song. Okay, yeah, then? Okay, And then, and is that where it ends? Okay, so then, so that's, he's satisfied. So that means if he could make his money some other way than business, he'd do it. So what would be his preferred way of doing, making money?
Just to study and spiritual things.
Okay, but then, and what, okay, but then how will his study, because just studying, that's ashram, but how will his study be a benefit to the society that the society want to maintain him?
Teach.
He'd have to teach. Okay, so then he'd be comfortable. So that means he's permitted. You understand? And the family is because that's the dharma of it, and then the money is just, that's practically what he can do. You understand? That's what I'm saying. You just keep following it back. But you have to be able to distinguish what's varna and what's ashram. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, the kshatriya follows dharma because that's just what's right. A vaishya may follow dharma because it gets money. Right, from dharma comes artha. So those intelligent, like, means, I remember one, means hardcore business family, you know, it's in the genes. You know, if you looked under, it looked at his DNA in the microscope, you'd see in those little things like that, you'd see, you know, bills of something, you know, you'd see, you know, some kind of, you know, money in there, right? So he was running a business. And then somehow or another, and he started off with, I think, you know, he started off with a small investment the temple gave him. He paid that back and then had made it 10 times bigger. And then something came up, I don't know what happened, he was thinking to shift from India to America. Now, he could have sold the business, right? Sold it to the temple, sold it to whoever wanted, right? Because it was, the business was full stock, like that. But he didn't, he just gave it to the temple. You know, he asked the temple who could run the business, who was going to run the business, because if the temple bought it, then who would run the business? So who would run the business? Trained them, showed them all the different things, and then just without taking anything, walked out, went overseas, and then, you know, whatever he had is his personal, because from business you make profit. You know, he gives the temple and he has his own money. And then he started his own business there and built that up. So he started off with, I think, 50,000 rupees, had built it up to, I think, 5 or 10 lakhs. So this would have been back in the 80s. So that would have been a lot of money then. But, you know, then he gave all that away. He went to America. Now he works in millions. And he was mentioning to me is that, you know, about, you know, he's been trained since he's been young, you know, by his father. That giving in charity, there's never a loss. Because his father, in his day, was the biggest merchant in that area, in that city. Like that. So it wasn't a village. He was in one of the, you know, major cities of India. And he was the biggest in that area, in the city. So then, you know, it's just, they know that anything given in charity is never lost. So there's no harm. So, that's the Vaishnava. That's what Krishna taught. They make money, they give it away. Right? But, you know, they only have to give half of it away. So they have half. So if you make more money, you have a lot of a half, you know. Like that. So the whole point is it's not a problem. So they can do dharma for artha. But that's the whole point, is you go do dharma. Why is that? Because it's beneficial, or, you know, it's good, or it's prosperous. Then you know, okay, that's in the Vaishnava. Oh, because no, it's the right thing to do. It's the thing. No, because it's progressive. And you know what I'm saying? You have to see what is the reasons behind each thing, what's the reason behind. Until you get to the point where the next one should be, it pleases Krishna. So the one just before that, that's where the end of the material line, that's where you tell what the varna is. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. All that from just pointing out about the Brahmin boy. Okay. Okay. So the golden coin of bhakti, shining effulgently in by the fire study practice, means bhakti is the value. But by the fire of steady practice, means that endeavor, then it shines very brightly. right? But, yeah. So when that's fixed in the heart, so it means the steady practice is there. The practice is steady, but when then the devotional element becomes fixed in the heart, right? So in other words, you're fixing the practice. Now you're fixing the interest in it, right? Because if you have interest in other things, you won't have interest in Krishna. So when that's fixed, that means it's the prominent. Then the taste comes, ruchi. Okay. Then two, the mature stage begins with the sakti. Right, so here now is preliminary stage is ruchi, right? So with an advanced devotional service, this means as a platform, just like the spiritual position, right? Being in the spiritual world, its basis is Brahman. It's a spiritual life. That's the situation. It's spiritual. It's not material, right? Then within that, there's bhava, and then that matures into prana, right? So, does that make sense? So in the same way as that you have nishta, that is the basis of advanced devotional service, right? Then the preliminary is ruchi, and then the mature stage begins with the sakti. Does that make sense? But then we could also take it back farther, is that the whole thing is based on faith. When there's faith, that's the basis, right? You move faith, there is nothing. If you remove steady practice, there is nothing. If you remove being situated on the transcendental platform, then you don't have, right? You know, it's like that. Mm-hmm. So it's always the same. So here they're applying it here. So one doesn't have to become worried that if I'm not there, then there's no. No, you can be matured in the, you know, the preliminaries to the preliminaries to get fixed. You know, so. The mature stage begins with asakti, as seen in the quote from below, from the fifth shower of the Madhurya Kadambini. Asakti, transcendental attachment, is the threshold of Raghunatha Bhakti. It's right on the door. It's not inside the room, but it's right on the door. That is the door. Right? That's how you cross. After this, when ruchi taste, which has bhajan, hearing, chanting, and other devotional activities, as its object of relish, right? Because what you're relishing is that, not that I love this management. Isn't this great? Everything worked out, everything fell into place. Means that's not the ruchi we're talking about. That means that they're nicely situated, they're very comfortable, so they're very inspired in doing their service. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's good. But it's not, but here, asakti means when that taste is for hearing, chanting, and other direct devotional activities. That's there. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's there. And makes Krishna the object of relish. Oh, no. And as this object of relish reaches extreme depth and makes Krishna the object of relish, because before it's like the hearing is so nice, the chanting is so nice, the performing this activity for Krishna is so nice. You understand? Where's the focus? It's on the activity. It's a matter of what we're doing. But when it comes that Krishna, the person, is the object of relish, that's when it turns into a sakta. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? It's very scientific. So by understanding this, we know, okay, what parts to work on. Mm. So that's also there. So they'll give these positive, and if we catch it, you don't really have to discuss so much the negative, but it'll be discussed anyway. But, it's not, but if not, then you have to point them out very strongly. Right? You know, like that. And makes Krishna the object of relish. That is called asakti, or attachment. At the stage of asakti, the creeper of bhakti bears clusters of buds. Right? So buds come. So then, means so the creepers come. So that's why we say it's mature, because only when there's more maturity, beginning of maturity, is only then when you get the buds. These buds will in no time become flowers. And so we see here is that it gets quicker each time. Right? You know, it's going along, when it gets to nishta, then that's going to, so very soon it will turn into that, then quite quickly, and very, you know, then here, what do you say? In no time. So it just gets quicker and quicker. And as you move up to each one, it just starts going faster and faster. Once you cross nishta, because then the anarthas are less so that things can move forward. But aruchi means you don't have taste for the anarthas. Right? You may not have love for Krishna, You know, so there's that neutrality. So you have to build that, but there's nothing holding it back. You know, it means the boat can move. Okay, whether there's one person rowing or 100 person rowing, if there's an anchor in, it doesn't matter. It's not going anywhere. But if you take out the anchor, even if it's one person, it's moving. You know what I'm saying? So it becomes dynamic. So that's the whole point. So at Nishta, they've been brought into control. Right? But at Ruchi, there's no taste for them. So because there's taste for the name. These buds will in no time become flowers at the stage of bhava, and then fruits at the stage of prema. Right? So then they'll go like that. The statement that Ruchi has bhajan as the object and Asakti has the Lord as the object is a designation signifying proportionate quantity. Because right? The Lord is always there, but it's just where is the quantity is there. One is in the activity. The other is that you're performing the activity and you're fixed in it, so like that. But then you have taste for that activity. Then the activity, the reason it has taste is because it's connected to Krishna. So Krishna is the taste. You understand it? It just moves. Does that make sense? Yeah. Both Ruchi and Asakti have both components as objects, but by less intensity in taking bhajan as object and greater intensity in taking the Lord as object, Asakti becomes distinguishable from Ruchi. Right? Both are there. You're doing it. The taste is as Krishna. Just like Nishta, it's about Krishna. You know, and Anartha, Nivriti, and it's about Krishna. But it's just which is more prominent. Right? You know, bhajan kriya, I'm starting the activities, so, you know, you've just taken initiation, you're following these things, getting used to all these different things, so that's the prominence. But it ultimately is for Krishna, so it has all the elements. But it's just which is prominent, that's what defines where you are in the Shraddha to Prema. You know, it's just like the new devotee probably has less Shraddha than a more mature devotee. Right, but the mature devotee is not even thinking about Shraddha. He's thinking about, you know, where his position is. Right, but the new person who's just come in contact with the devotees, heard about Krishna consciousness, experienced something to do with Krishna consciousness, you know, like a buck in a hollow. Right, so then he starts to develop faith. Now, what's the prominent thing in his mind at this point?
Hollow.
So that's Bhajana Kriya. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Because
you have to associate devotees, they make the hollow. Right? So, yeah.
So he believes in it or not.
Yeah.
Like the Christians, I believe in it.
Yeah. So it's faith. Right? So therefore they're saying, you know, do you believe? I believe. You know, Bhagavan and all this stuff. So that's great, but that's the first stage of nine. So great, but don't say that that's it and that's where it ends. And unless if you're doing anything else and anything that's higher, they can't understand. You must be a witch or the devil, you know. And anything below that, then you're a demon, you know. So, you know, so somehow that it's strange to anybody above and anybody below. You can kill, you know. It's not sin, you know. It's like somehow or another. It's like, yeah. So the faith is what's prominent in their mind. So that's why it's called faith, Shraddha. Though their faith will be less than someone at a more mature stage. But that's what's prominent in their mind. So at this point, then the focus on Krishna as the person, as the object, that's the prominence, as opposed to the taste. So, you know, the other says, oh, nice taste, I love this chanting. That's Asakti. I mean, Aruchi. But when it's Krishna, so the attachment to Krishna, because it's Krishna's name. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Because, yeah. Asakti polishes the mirror of the heart to such a condition that a reflection of the Lord may suddenly be visible there. Right? Because the mind is there, but, you know, sometimes it's there, but there's so many things clouding. You know, like you see sometimes then remembrance of the Lord or, you know, something that is more prominent. Sometimes it's less. That's just because the dirt on the mirror. So this, it becomes polished to the point where then the Lord is able to be seen. Before the stage of Asakti, the devotee, realizing that his mind has been empowered by material objects and desires, after putting forth deliberate effort, withdraws his mind and fixes on the Lord's form, qualities, and activities. In the stage of Asakti, however, absorption of the mind in the Lord is automatic without effort, right? In other words, we see that, okay, my mind has become absorbed in this aspect because of the Lord's quality, right? But then he pulls it back and connects it to the, you know, directly to the Lord. But here's, you don't have to do that because the Lord is just so attractive.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura ki.